Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Ann, and I'm happy to bring the message this morning. Just last week, a friend of mine texted me and asked if she could come over for a visit and just to catch up. And I thought, fine, that would be great. I haven't seen her for a while. And so we arranged a time that she could come, and we sat on the front deck and ate watermelon and caught up. And she talked for a long time, telling me everything that was going on in her life and the things that she was dealing with. I asked her some questions just to clarify, and she asked me a couple questions, but then it was back to her talking about the things that were on her heart and that she needed to just talk through. And I listened, and I think it really helped her. I didn't offer her advice. I just listened, and it blessed her. We are blessed to be a blessing by listening. So we're in this series called Bless the Church in Action. And the first one that you heard last week was Pastor Jeremiah talking about the B, which is begin with prayer. And then today we're on the L, which is listen. And then we're moving on to E for eat, and S for serve, and then S for story. But today we're going to focus on the story of Paul in Athens and see what we can learn about listening from him. So I'm going to read Acts 17, verse 16 to 34. Now you can follow along in your Bibles or on your phones or just on the screen. So Paul is in Athens. Verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in a synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we'd like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Then Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him, and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, or an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed, and among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. And that is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, our theme and goal of the message this morning is that we are blessed to be a blessing by listening. So I want to just give you a little bit of background to this story that we just read. Paul was waiting in Athens for Timothy and Silas to join him after their time in Berea. Now, Athens was a center of culture, of art, of philosophy, literature, amazing architecture and sculptures. There was even a university there. But it was also a city of a great many idols. Now, there were about 10,000 people living there at the time of Paul, but there were three times the amount of idols, so about 30,000 of them. Now, Lawrence and I were there a couple of years ago, and we were amazed at those ancient temples that are still standing on that high rocky hill above the city, and that is called the Acropolis. And it also strikes you when you're there as to how many statues there are of the goddess Athena, the goddess of Athens. And most of her identities are glorified at the main temple, which is dedicated to her, and that is called the Parthenon. Now, there was an outcropping of rock that was about 370 feet high, which was a little bit below the Acropolis called the Areopagus. Sorry, all these words. And Paul preached to the Athenians the message of the gospel there at the Areopagus. So the first point that I want to make this morning is that we are to observe where to go and meet people so that we can talk to them about Jesus. Now, Paul, when he was in Athens there waiting, he first of all went to the synagogue and talked to the Jews there. He talked to God-fearing Greeks. And he went to the marketplace, which was called the Agora. Now, the Agora was where everyone came for all sorts of things. It was the center of the city. It was where people bought and sold things. It was where they took care of their finances, like the bank would have been there, the stock market. It was the place where heralds would proclaim the news. Of course, they didn't have global TV or radio. And that's where they went to actually hear the latest news. And people gathered there to hear the latest ideas. So you get the picture of what that was like. So today we don't have a marketplace like the Agora to go to actually meet people. So what are the places that we have today where we can meet people? Thankfully, COVID restrictions are basically over and we can meet people again. So what about places where you work? Or maybe you work out at the gym. Or maybe you're a mom or a dad and you bring your kids to the playground, your neighborhood playground, and you meet other moms and dads there. You can strike up a conversation. Or maybe your neighbors. There's even possibly block parties happening where you can meet neighbors. So who can you think of who you could listen to build a relationship with them? And then possibly tell them about Jesus. Who is the Holy Spirit bringing into your life that you could share your faith with? Maybe it's someone who's going through a really hard time. Maybe somebody who has recently lost a loved one, or someone who's been diagnosed with cancer or another physical illness. Listen to them. Let them talk about what they're going through. We are blessed to be a blessing by listening to others. And so that is my second point. We can observe and listen. And Paul, while he spent time waiting for Timothy and Silas to get to Athens, he was observing and listening to the people of Athens. He wandered around the city, seeing the many idols. And maybe he missed seeing the beauty of the city because he was so distressed by all those idols. And probably he's just focusing on how pagan the people are there. They're worshiping a myriad of idols, and they've been misled. So in today's society, what kinds of idols do we see? Everybody worships something. Everybody is religious. And everybody sees something that's important to them that can be even more important than God, which is what it means to worship an idol. Maybe it's a career, maybe it's money or possessions or beauty or youth or the perfect family. It could be any of those things. And Paul, when he was there, he also must have studied what the philosophers of the city were talking about or believing. There were the Epicureans and the Stoics, we're told. And Paul found common ground with them and then spoke to them in a way that they could understand. So the Epicureans and the Stoics were the philosophers of the day. Epicureans believed and taught that if it feels good, do it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That was their kind of mentality. Who of you has ever heard of Victorian Epicure? It's actually a Canadian company that sells high-quality food products. They're called Epicure, based on or coming from the word Epicurean. I was using my cutting board the other day, and I noticed that there was a stamp on it, and it said Epicurean. And I thought, ah, interesting. Way back from Paul's time. Well, they taught that the greatest good is to seek modest pleasures in order to attain a state of tranquility, freedom from fear, and absence from bodily pain. And they didn't believe in life after death, just the here and now. And the Stoics, they taught that because of fate, you may as well accept what's happening to you and not to fight it. Just be content with what is going to happen to you. It's going to happen anyways. And from them, we get the saying, stiff upper lip. They also did not believe in life after death. So we'll see later in this message how Paul speaks directly to these philosophers because he has spent time listening to them and learning from them. So we are blessed to be a blessing by listening. The third point I want to talk about this morning is, what do you feel? What emotions come up after you listen and observe? So what was Paul feeling during his time in Athens? Well, it says that Paul was deeply distressed. He was brokenhearted. He was distraught about all those idols there. And another word for greatly distressed in another translation is the word distraught or provoked. And this is the same word that is used in the Old Testament for when God is provoked about Israel's idolatry. God was provoked because he loved Israel. He called them. He wanted to bless them and then send them out to be a blessing. But instead, they were worshiping idols instead of God. And you can see that that would be very upsetting. And Paul also felt this conundrum, this complex feeling of, first of all, compassion for people and love, and yet this feeling of anger, of being provoked. Like, how could they do this? It's so frustrating to see through what they were doing, and yet they couldn't see it for themselves. They were worshiping idols that were nothing, just made out of wood and stone. So Paul felt compassion and grace, but also this feeling of agitation or provocation for these people. And we also need to have that same heart for people. Remember when we pray heart, the H stands for, or we start the prayer with as, God, please break my heart for what breaks yours. We also need to have that heart for people as God does. Love and compassion, but also that feeling of maybe being provoked, because that will actually spur us on to action, to feel compelled to tell people about Jesus because we don't want them to stay where they're at. If we only have compassion and love for them and care, we have the mentality, oh, well, God will love them no matter what. But then we won't be inclined to actually tell them the good news about Jesus and the resurrection and what that means for them. You know, I know of someone who's not a believer in Christ, and he's looking in the wrong places to satisfy his need for religion. He's interested in this type of New Age philosophy that talks about being opening your mind and being soft-hearted. And I'm thinking, well, what are you opening your mind to? What are you being soft-hearted towards? It just makes me kind of crazy. I just can't understand it. And I get kind of angry about this. And I feel like on the one hand, love and compassion, and on the other, I'm like, why are you doing this? You're following a man-made philosophy instead of the true living God. What could be more important than knowing Jesus Christ, that he died for you and that he wants you in his kingdom? So it's important that you also feel something for the people that God puts in your path, just like Paul felt for the Athenians, so that you will be moved to action. And four, this is the last point, is after observing, after listening, after feeling, then speak. So before we speak to people about Jesus, we've already spent time listening to them, observing them, building a relationship with them, which involves feeling for them, like caring for them. And then we can tell them about Jesus. Now, Paul was speaking in the marketplace about Jesus and the resurrection, and the Stoics and the Epicureans started to dispute with him. And they took him to the meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." So I mentioned earlier about that rock, that outcropping where Paul was speaking to them, which is also called the Areopagus. But the Areopagus has another meaning, and that is that it's also a governing body. It's like the council of elders of the city, similar to the Roman Senate. So it has two meanings here. So he was brought to the Areopagus, he was brought to that rocky outcropping where he spoke to them, but it was also in the, he was speaking to that council of elders. And then it says that all the Athenians just spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. That wouldn't that be amazing if that's all we needed to do? One thing we can learn from Paul is to observe and listen, which is what he did, right? And then he starts his talk. "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for I've walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship and even found an altar to the unknown God." So that's his starting point. He started with something from their culture, from their religion to start talking about, the altar to the unknown God. And it was kind of like the Athenians thought, well, we've got all of these idols here, but maybe we missed one God, so let's just have one altar to the unknown God in case, just in case we missed one. But Paul knows that God, and he's going to tell them about that God. And so he says, you know, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. This God is not a God that's made of gold or silver or carved by humans. God is the ruler of all nations. He's planned the exact times that nations will emerge and decline. God is the great designer of everything. Nothing is left to chance, like what the Epicureans believed. He says God is near and he can be found. Paul even quotes a couple of Greek poets. And the words, "In him we live and move and have our being," is actually the words of a poet, Epimenides, from 600 BC. And he quotes another poet, Aratus, "We are his offspring." And then God, or Paul, uses those words to say that it is in God that we live and move and have our being, and that we are God's offspring. He created each one of us. So Paul is making the point here that there's only one God, not a God for everything. And also, the Stoics believed in pantheism, that everything is God. But Paul is pointing out, no, we are only to worship the one true God, the creator God, and not the creation, not what he created. And God doesn't need us, but we need him. And God is sovereign over all. He created us to seek him and to find him. And then Paul tells about Jesus and the resurrection, that God appointed Jesus to be the judge of the world, and that he could do so because he rose from the dead, proving that he is God. Now the Epicureans and the Stoics, who did not believe in life after death, they balked at that idea of a man being raised from the dead. But Paul used the resurrection of Jesus as the ultimate proof that Jesus had the authority actually to judge and that they needed to repent. And they didn't like that. So Paul's speech was kind of like a TED talk. He laid out the whole story of God very clearly: creation, sin, redemption in Jesus, and then judgment. And he contextualized what he said by first listening to them and observing what they believed. And then he chose a point of contact, the altar to the unknown God. But he didn't stop there. He gets to what you could consider the conflict. So it's not that we just stay with that point of contact, but move on to something that might be a little more uncomfortable, maybe for us and for the person listening too, possibly. But that is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So in our situations, what is that point of contact that we can begin with? What are people going through? Like I mentioned before, possibly the death of a loved one, being diagnosed with cancer. What feelings does that bring up in that person? And what do they do with those feelings? And then you could respond to something like that, that you have the peace of God that passes all understanding, or that you know that Jesus loves you and is always with you and will never leave you. Other things to ask are like, what books do you like to read? Or what movies do you like watching? Or what kind of music do you like listening to? Or think of some questions that you could ask them to start them thinking, or that you could engage in a conversation with them with a little bit more than just the weather. Like, what did your family do when it was Christmas time or Easter? Or did you pray when you were young as a family? Do you still pray? What do you believe about life after death? Or do you believe in life after death? Or lots of types of questions that could get people to start thinking. And then by listening to their answers, you could find that point of contact and then bring the conversation around to Jesus and his resurrection. So follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit leading you and directing you and giving you the words to say. Luke 12, verse 12 says this: "The Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." So listen to the Holy Spirit as well as the person, and he'll bring it to a point, to a contact point somehow. We had a number of weeks ago, we had some friends over who are from a Muslim background, and I started a conversation with him about that I had just read that Muslims sacrifice animals, like sheep or goats or cows, and I had never heard that before. I found it kind of intriguing. So I asked him, why do they do this? Why do they sacrifice animals? And he didn't say too much, just agreed that yes, it was done and the meat was given to the poor, but that the animals were sacrificed in order to pay for sin. And so then I asked him, well, what does the Quran teach about sin? I just wanted to know if it's the same as what we know in the Bible. And then I went on to tell him that the Bible tells us that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus is the lamb slain for the sins of the world, and that we don't need to sacrifice animals anymore. Now, the conversation ended there. He didn't seem to be very interested in carrying on with it, and so I dropped it, just praying and hoping that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in his heart to bring him to a point of maybe questioning his beliefs. Like Pastor Victor said a couple weeks ago in the introduction to this series, that we're to begin with prayer, start making connections with people, but you don't have to convert them, right? That's the Holy Spirit's job. You just have to bless them. So be a blessing by listening and asking questions. But don't just stop there. Go on to tell them about Jesus like Paul did in Athens. So at the end of the story of Acts 17, we read that some of the people listening to Paul sneered and went away. Others told Paul that they wanted to hear more about this subject, and others did give their lives to Christ. like Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and Damaris. So leave the results to the Holy Spirit. Just be faithful in what God is calling you to do, and be a blessing to others by listening. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus and the resurrection. Thank you for blessing us and making us blessings to others. Help us to listen to people well, to those people that you bring into our lives. Help us to build relationships with those people so that we can learn to care for them and love them and to have the same heart for them as you do, so that we'll be able to find those points of contact and follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit to start speaking to them about Jesus and the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit and for leading and guiding us. And we pray that you help us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.